Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, family constellation facilitator, and sound therapist here at Illuminations. And we are now back with another episode, with another speaker, and with a very exciting topic this time. So we all know that we're not just physical beings, we're also energetic beings. And this goes to everything that we do in life. So whether it's work, whether it's relationships and so on. So how does energy affect our day-to-day lives, right? And now that we've just entered 2023, a lot of us were looking into achieving our goals, setting goals, manifesting goals. So I really want to introduce this topic, which is all about how is your space influencing your life and manifestation? And how can we look at the energy in your space and how can we improve it so that we can improve the quality of our life and manifest our goals faster. So to talk to us about this topic, I have a very special guest today. Her name is Maria Leonard. Maria is a spiritual coach and the founder of Life Scripting. So thank you for joining us, Maria, and welcome to Illuminations World Podcast.
Thank you, Nia. Always good to speak to you. It's our second time, right?
Yes, it's our second time, and I'm really excited to dive right in into this particular topic. So let's just start with the basics, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about how can a space, which is not alive, it has no body, nothing, how can a space hold energy and how can that influence our lives?
That's a very interesting point because that's what people think, but that's not true. Because just because it's not a physical body like the human body or an animal or a plant, it doesn't mean the walls don't have energy around them or the objects. So they might not have a high level of consciousness that we do, but it is still part of the energy field. It's still part of the quantum field. And what happens is the aura, which is the energy field of any living being, it emits and absorbs everything that is around it. So let's say when you are on a day-to-day basis having multiple thoughts, multiple emotions, so there is this constant influx of energy.
Right.
And wherever you go, you are leaving debris of that, and you're also picking up because there were people before you and there are going to be people after you.
Right.
So it's not necessarily only that we're thinking about a certain wall or a certain table or a furniture. Who was in that space and how is that actually influencing you is because it's always an interaction. Energy is a continuous form of interaction. As we know, it does not get destroyed, it just gets transformed.
So what are certain signs of you picking up energy from a space or you leaving a particular kind, your energy in the space? What are signs that this transaction is happening?
So this has to do with a level of sensitivity and a bit of intuition. So this is, as I said, ongoing. People are unconscious about it. But yes, you would notice this from empaths most of the time, that they would say, I'm just feeling uncomfortable around a certain person, or I'm going to a certain space and I'm feeling agitated or anxious. And there was nothing going on in my mind particularly for me to get affected by that. So your level of sensitivity and intuition actually helps you to detect that. But there are, of course, some more logical signs of that. For example, a decluttered space is more, let's say, high vibrational or more relaxing than a cluttered one because there is stagnation happening there. You might be looking at the object that there's so many things, so it can create the energy or the qi, as they say in Chinese, that it's not moving properly.
Right.
So if you're going to more of an open space, think about the sea, think about mountains. Most of the time people just go there, just sit and they feel relaxed.
Yeah.
They don't need to go to a healing session. They don't need to sit and think about what they need to feel or think to be positive. The space does it for them. Yeah.
Right. So it all depends on the movement of the energy and how stagnant objects are. So is that the reason why, or would you recommend that people move their furnitures around often?
Yes, it's actually one of the rules in feng shui, which is the art of geomancy.
Yeah.
Art of geomancy is a divination tool. So which means you have a sense of intuition and understanding. Also having some numerological background, astrological background, to tell you what a certain land has energetically there, which is positive or negative, which can be harmful or auspicious.
Right.
And when you end up moving your objects, your furniture, there is no fixed rule, which is monthly basis or yearly basis, but having that movement happen naturally creates change in our lives and more flow to take place.
So tell us a little bit more about feng shui and how it all works.
So from a very basic understanding, feng shui is about 5,000-year-old knowledge that came from the Chinese culture. And there are different cultures who practice similar practices. It is about understanding the land, understanding what that land brings and emits energetically, what a space, which is a house or an office or a garden, and how the direction are playing a role in that space. So they go on using a compass most of the time to know that what each certain direction can get activated in a person's life and what can get deactivated. Now, this is, again, not static. So, for example, the south corner of any space is considered the fame corner.
Okay.
So activating the south in your house by using certain colors, certain elements, certain numbers of objects will help to bring that energy into movement.
Interesting.
However, that's the interesting part, that although south is that, it doesn't mean every month and every year that space is healthy.
Oh, wow.
So this is where astrology also comes in, which is way more complex. But from a simple understanding is, if you know what all those nine areas are, they consider it to be nine areas because you have south, north, east, west, plus south, east
and southwest,
and the center, right? Yeah. So knowing all those areas, bringing it into your awareness that, hey, I just realized my bathroom is in my south corner. And usually bathrooms are a place of releasing of chi, releasing of energy.
Yeah.
So that means fame is not going to be my stronger spot.
And
this is a realization. This is an awareness. We're not victims of our space, but understanding how we can then find a remedy to not cause our space to hinder our growth.
So, for example, let's take the example that you just mentioned right now about the toilet being in the southeast.
South, if it's about the fame. Yeah.
All right. So if your toilet is right there and you do want to become an influencer or whatnot, what would certain remedies look like?
Great. So, for example, again, if we're focusing on the south element, south has the fire element to it.
Okay.
And it has to be used the colors of red, purple, and orange.
Red, purple, and orange.
Right. So now water is considered more of a blue color.
Yeah.
And water kills the element of fire. So what we can do to enhance the water element is to increase candles in the bathroom. So we balance out the element. It's actually a very interesting way of believing in the elements and working with nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And let's say bringing in certain objects that can represent those colors. So you might have, let's say, a nice red towel that you would put there. Or you can have, as I said, a few candles that you would put there. The candle holder is red or purple, right?
Right. So you can play with colors because at the end of the day, color is also a frequency, right?
Exactly, exactly. And this way, we are not, as I mentioned earlier, victim of the space, but we are enhancing that space so it can benefit us.
Right.
Now, what I find interesting every time when I teach space clearing, which has feng shui in it, when, first of all, I tell all my students that write down an area of life that you have been struggling to achieve. So some people might write money, relationships, let's say career, right?
Yeah.
And they still don't have any idea about the areas, which the term for it is called the bagua.
Yeah.
The bagua is the certain areas. Now, when they learn how to understand their space and where each corner is, 99% of the time, if not 100, we'll leave that 1% out as an exception, they realize that that particular area of their life is actually either missing in their space or is in the bathroom area.
That's so fascinating.
It can be devastating, but it actually gives them an understanding that, because why is this understanding of energy and space underrated is because we believe that we are the creators of our life, right? And our mind is powerful and we can do whatever we like through shifting our mindset.
Yeah.
100% we agree on that. However, your space is also influencing you consciously and unconsciously. So you tweak that, you will be able to also attract a better space in the future for yourself.
And does it, let's say, so when you're talking about the space, are you looking at, let's say if you live in a house, are you looking at the whole house? Are you looking at the room that you live in? Or like if you're in an apartment, are you just looking at your bedroom or the entire apartment?
So that's a macro and a micro level of looking.
Okay.
We have so many people who live, let's say, with a multiple family member, and they would say that my family members will not believe in this.
Yeah.
So I cannot go around, rearrange the whole house.
Yeah.
Then we look at it from a micro level of their bedroom.
Gotcha.
And we divide that bedroom in a certain position.
So can you give us a little bit insight about these nine positions and like and what they mean and how that can be arranged?
So the nine areas would involve fame and career, health, love. And I'll focus on the top three, which is always there. So we'll talk about love relationships, the romantic ones, which is the southwest corner.
Okay.
So usually for you to discover where the southwest corner is, you have to have a compass, stand in the center of a room or the center of the house, depending what you want to work on, and you find where the compass is directing.
Right.
So the southwest would be your love corner, where you want to bring in the earth element. It's enhanced by the earth element.
Ooh, okay.
And earth is crystals. So, or let's say vases with clay that you can use. And by using crystals, and we know that the famous love crystal is rose quartz, you can end up using that crystal in that space. Now, ideally, in a romantic relationship, we just want a couple. Mm. So you would place only two of those crystals there and not multiple ones of those. Yeah?
Interesting.
So you're focusing on the space. You're focusing on the earth element, the element that has, and the number that you want to use, plus the color. So pink can be used there. Mm. Also, earth tone colors can be used there. We can look at career, which is in the north side of the house or the office. And the north would be a blue color or black and white that you can use. And it's the water element. Mm. Now, a classical feng shui remedy would be an aquarium. Or a house water fountain that people would use.
Got you.
And if those are not possible, then anything blue, like this wall at the background, can be ideal for you to have, or a picture of an ocean to put that there, and you're enhancing that. And it has the number one in it, so do not put more than one object with that certain element. And the third one would be about money. So these are the top three. We had love, career,
and money.
Money is southeast. And the southeast corner, you would want a wood element. So plants, we want abundance. So get as many plants as you like and place them over there. You don't have to worry about the number of monies. Now, the plants can also be enhanced with the element of earth. So you can use citrine in those corners. Now, one added thing that I teach in space clearing is, beyond the objects, we also want to use the power of words. So in feng shui, when you are putting a certain symbol, you know that symbol has a representation for you. It has a meaning.
Right.
So we go beyond that a little bit. We add something modern where we write our affirmations. and the intentions that we want, and we place them in those certain areas of the house rather than just all having them in one notebook.
Right. So just writing them and just placing it there. Yeah. And do you have to see it on a daily basis?
Not necessarily. But I have had people send me pictures of them creating beautiful artwork and also writing down all their favorite affirmations and putting them around the house.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So now coming down to, okay, we spoke about the house, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about how that influences our energetic space, mm-hmm. and what we can do about that.
Right. So if your space has already been cleansed and properly created and organized with the intention of what you wanted it to do for you, then it's going to impact on your aura. Mm. Now, it can be both ways. You can cleanse your aura, which can help you to have a clearer mindset, and then work on your space. So for our energy field, one of the things that I like to use is smudging, which is the air element. Mm. So air element is used when you burn sage, palo santo, frankincense, sandalwood, depending which type, part of the world you come from.
Yeah.
They all are equally valid.
And when you say burn, like, you just, how long do you put it on for?
So for example, here we have sage, uh-huh. and we end up burning it. And the smoke, we allow it to enter our auric space. Mm-hmm. Now, the ideal way is always to use anti-clockwise. So the anti-clockwise for the body would be from the left side. Mm-hmm. You go from the left-hand side, from the feet, yeah. and you just create a circular motion around your aura,
right
while standing.
Right.
And what this does, it's covering all parts of your auric field, yeah. which has many layers,
yeah.
and it's helping you to have that kind and nice and balanced state.
So tell me a little bit more about how does the element smoke mm-hmm. influence your auric space? We've heard so many, about so many things about sage, sandalwood, mm-hmm. and things that you can burn. But how does it exactly affect
our
space?
Well, it has multiple meanings for it. First of all, sage is considered and goes under the category of air because it is getting influenced with the air around you. Mm. So it's not as static as fire or the candle that we have, or as earth, as the crystal that we have, or as fluid as water.
Right.
So it's merging with your field. So that sensitivity of the smoke that is burning is merging with your field. Mm. And again, it depends on your level of sensitivity of how much calmer you feel after using it. So I would say that the strongest one to use if you're feeling tired, exhausted, is the element of water.
Just like a shower.
Exactly. And I'm sure everyone has had that feeling when they, after a very long, stressful day, they go under the shower. They're it feels so good, right? So, of course, having a bath is also helpful. Going by the sea is also helpful. Mm. So that fluidity of that element is having the ability to wash through your aura. You might feel it's only the body, but it's not only the physical body.
It's actually the element that also gets cleansed, right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more about how do crystals influence you? Because we get the water and we get the air, mm-hmm. but how does introducing a crystal mm-hmm. influence a space? Because it's
just rock, right?
Yeah.
Well, I always tell people that if you're going to buy a crystal, don't just buy it because it's cute. You have to feel something with it because otherwise it will just be a piece of rock. Mm. So they come from Mother Earth, right? Mm. They're one of the basic levels of consciousness on planet Earth. They have a huge grounding effect to it. Mm. And each single color of a crystal or component of it from a chemical perspective, it interferes again with your energy space. Now, there's always been this question, how did people know which crystal to use for what?
Yeah.
This is still a question mark. They keep saying that it's been there for thousands of years and through experiments and observations, they've noticed what each crystal is bringing into a person's life.
Interesting.
So science is still figuring it out. But if you are choosing to be a bit more sensitive, I've used this word many times because I believe that plays a role with energy, and you're being intuitive, you can feel which crystal will help you out. Now, my favorite ones, which we have here, is black tourmaline. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a few reasons why black tourmaline is necessary. One, the color of it is black.
Yeah.
So it's an energy absorber.
Yeah.
So it can absorb all the negativity and all the harmful energies around.
Yeah.
Two, it is a very dense color. Mm. Again, going back to the blackness of it. So it's not of a high vibrational one. It's more of a lower one, but not in a sense that it's going to harm you. It will be able to attack, let's say, lower energy frequencies.
Got you.
And so it's ideally used in a person's house where you can put it either in the four corners of your house or by your office desk or have a small one in your bag.
Yeah.
And just make sure that you daily cleanse it with either water or, again, with the smudging technique.
So how do we know, let's say, in terms of crystal, how do we know it has reached his capacity?
Oh, yes. So that is very common when it starts to break, crack. You would be surprised. I personally don't believe in coincidences. But if a crystal has fallen down a few times and nothing has happened, and then just once it falls down and it breaks, that means it's reached its highest capacity. Or I've also heard very interesting stories where it gets lost.
Yeah. Very true.
I once had that for 5 years. I had a black tourmaline. I thought I'd lost it. And 5 years later, I found it in one of my bags. So it's a mystery.
Oh, my. Wow, this has been very, very insightful. But before you leave, I would really like you to share a routine that our listeners can take away, like a very simple energy or space clearing routine that the beginners can take away from today.
So let's start with the most basic, which is choosing your favorite smell of a smudging kit, which is sage, Palo Santo, as we said. And every morning when you wake up, before you leave the house, you make sure you cleanse yourself 7 times
in
the anti-clockwise way. And when you come back home, you do the same.
Got you.
Second tip would be having your shower at night before you fall asleep.
Yeah.
Now, I know it can be challenging for many of us, ladies, especially with washing our hair every day.
Yeah.
But I have to do that with the nature of my work to keep my hair cleansed, because hairs are like antennas and they absorb a lot of negative energy.
Oh, really?
Yes. So sometimes sage can work, but in my case, I feel the heaviness around my crown, so I would need the shower.
Got you.
So using shower, but adding a little bit of handful of Himalayan salt or sea salt to, again, that's an earth element, so you're mixing that up with water.
Yeah.
You can put it in a bottle and just pour it all over your head.
Got you.
Or just scrubbing all over the body. And the third thing would be, why not get yourself one crystal with the intention, something in the black color range, which would be black tourmaline, onyx, black obsidian, even smoky quartz, and just carry it around with you in a form of an energy protector.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining us today and sharing all these great tips.
Thank you.
I truly appreciate it. And I'm sure the listeners have taken away so much from our conversation today. So until next time, take care and live light.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.